Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
So through the Advent season, we've been walking with the faithful. And we've been hearing some of those stories about those who are involved in the coming of Jesus to the manger, where he would then grow up and live his life here and eventually be crucified, die, and resurrected for our sins. And so we are grateful for that. And it's been good to be concentrating on those who were faithful in the story. This morning my sermon title is Carry the Tune. I thought this was, the title came later, but what a great Sunday for the sermon title, considering that we're going caroling. And I have to tell you, part of the reason why it's Carry the Tune is because of all the people who I've directed choirs and things over my lifetime, and people always tell me, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I want you to know, my response always is, I don't believe it. You just think you can't. You just don't think you can carry a tune in a bucket. Now, I'm not going any further with that discussion because there are professionals around who would tell me otherwise. However, my point is that if you believe that you can, and more significantly, if you believe that God has all the gifts and all the graces, and God can pour into you everything it takes to carry a tune in your bucket, then there is some kind of a tune that you will be able to carry. So we'll talk about that as we go along. Now, that may not mean that you're going to sing the way Mary sang, or that you will be visited by an angel bearing you glad tidings of great joy, and that those tidings would be to all people, although that message does come to all of us, does it not? Isn't that quite interesting? But it may mean that you'll be overtaken by that voice I spoke of last week, the one that only you can hear speaking to you in your ear, the one from God sharing some wonderful message for you. So just for this one morning, maybe around 11:45, I hope most of you will hear a voice encouraging you to carry your tune over to the two facilities with us so that we can brighten a half an hour or so for these folks who will recognize the carols, they will recognize the hymns, and they will think about the little baby whose birth we're preparing to celebrate. So that's my plug. I'd like us to come. And to abbreviate, we're going to be leaving early this morning. For those of you who will be surprised, we'll be out quite early. So I wanted to abbreviate my telling of the history. Normally, I give you the history of where we're going in the New Testament, but to do that, I'm going to reread the Micah passage that was already read for us. But I'm going to read it from the Message. And because it describes Bethlehem, and the Message, you know, is more, it's a very contemporary kind of presentation of the scripture. So it's not necessarily an interpretation of the scripture. So it describes Bethlehem from where the root of David came, that branch that we talked about, Jesus. And then it talks about the family of Israel, as if it was a family. Of course it was, but it's pretty realistic. And it lets you understand that the Israelites are going to be separated from their homeland and family. And then it tells them what it will be like when they are returned, when the one who will rescue them appears. So after that, we're going to move on to the Luke passage and that came before Mary's song. So this is Micah 5:1-5a from the Message, beginning with just a little bit of verse 1. But for now, prepare for the worst, victim daughter. But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter. You know what the runt of the litter is. From you will come the leader, who will shepherd, rule Israel. He won't be an upstart, no pretender. His family tree is ancient and distinguished. Meanwhile, Israel will be in foster homes until the birth pangs are over and the child is born. And the scattered brothers will come back home to the family of Israel. The return from the exile in Babylon, right? He will stand tall in his shepherd rule by God's strength, centered in the majesty of God revealed. And the people will have a good and safe home, for the whole world will hold him in respect, the peacemaker of the world. Enough about the history, I hope. I will always look forward to running into Mary and Elizabeth walking with the faithful during Advent. Stories like theirs, not only stories like theirs from the Bible, but also in real life, remind me of a God-type pattern in my own life. How many times do you think you would have had to hear either of the messages of Mary and Elizabeth about the babies coming to them before you would have believed it? Once, twice, three times, maybe a lot more than that. For me, it seems to take three times to hear something before I actually figure that it's about me and that it's really something for me to step into. So I hear the voice in my ear or see the situation before me or wonder about something which never before crossed my mind, and I would not have expected it to do that. So I will look around and I will think, Gloria, because I'm never thinking of myself as Pastor Gloria when these things happen. Never. Gloria, you're crazy. You have no skills. You have no training. You have nothing to even explain where this idea came from. So let it go. And so I do, usually. The second time, what may happen is it might show up in a song or something I've read, maybe a passage of scripture, maybe not. Something that comes along the way, maybe something somebody says. And the second time my mind says, Gloria, I'm still being Gloria, you're going to make a fool of yourself if you step into this. Those are my feelings. I feel like it can't possibly be for me. Like I'm inadequate for this thing. Like it's, and I'm imagining it, truly. And so that SMH from Facebook, I'm shaking my head, and I decide it couldn't possibly be for me, and I step away. Now the third time, and there is a pattern for me, and there must be a pattern for you, although it's probably different from mine. But in the pattern for me, the third time there's a message. It's as if God is not going to give up. And so the third time the message comes to me, however it comes, it's like the 2x4 hit me up beside the head. And so I know it's for me. I still may feel those other feelings, but I know it's for me. I read something about being a people of universal love. And it asked it this way. Have we ever been a people of universal love? And it continued explaining ways that we are. We have rare opportunities when the light flickers and the bells ring, and we take a step, not knowing what is next. Think about Mary and Elizabeth. And we feel the gravity of the choice. Taking no step would be way easier. But taking one step, that will move us. So we take the step. And we move, and something amazing starts to happen. It seems usually that in some way, everything that's going on around us is joining us in this step that we've taken. Things seem to come together, and for a while, it's very good. Then something happens to create fear, discomfort, a dark doubt. Maybe we stumble. Maybe something doesn't quite click the way it did at first. And we have another choice to make. It's much like our walk into the presence of the Advent story. walking with the faithful in our lives, hearing all the messages. All of us at one time heard about the baby Jesus and the message he brought from God about salvation for us. We each had that opportunity. Many of us, if not all of us, eventually stepped into it. And it was good. It was really, really good. And then came a doubt, a stumble, a reminder, guilt from the past. Let's read about Mary from that context and see how that moment became a watershed for her and for her cousin Elizabeth. Would you stand in honor of God's word? I think that's the same one. Luke 1:39 through 45. In those days, Mary got up and went hurriedly into the hill country to a town of Judah and entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child of your womb. And who am I that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? For the instant the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the sacrifice from heaven to earth for us in our interest. Help us, Lord, as we hear these words and consider these stories, to put them together as you would have us hear them, each one of us in our own special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Mary and Elizabeth, this is what I love about this, the part with Mary and Elizabeth. They were confirmation of each other about what God was doing. There could be no doubt when that baby leaped within Elizabeth, who would never have thought that baby would be there. There could be no doubt. And then for Mary, who, okay, maybe Mary went through all of this story just being confident of what the Lord was doing. But I would have been saying, okay, wait, that was great. Did I write it down? You know, and so here they met, and it brings tears to my eyes every time to think what that moment would have been for each of them. Those are write it down and document it moments, so you can look back when your whole world begins falling apart again and you wonder, what did I do? Was I wrong? I shouldn't have stepped into that thought, that idea, what I interpreted as God's voice in my ear. And you wonder if what was spoken to you was of the Lord, and if it should or would be fulfilled. Or worse, you doubt God's unconditional love for you, and you grieve God with your downcast spirit, your conviction that everything you have done in your past is still hanging around and you could not have been forgiven from every bit of it. At the very least, your reaction is a reminder that you have not forgiven yourself and allowed God to take that from you. The worst thing people do after stepping into the light of salvation is to allow regret and guilt to return, to second guess wherever they have gone on their journey in their past. All that is over. It's behind you. Today and tomorrow are new days, as if they were for Elizabeth and Mary. Sure, the consequences from our past affect us. And they will probably be pretty apparent to us. But that's no reason for us to keep beating ourselves on the back, to let our heart hurt over it anymore, or for us to wonder if the path we have chosen was real, right, and if we are actually on it with God. Because it is real, it is right, and we are, as long as you have chosen that path, walking it with God. And here's where the song comes in. Just as all the other faithful in these stories did, as Mary and Elizabeth did, when they accepted the little lives growing within them and adjusted their normal routine for whatever was to come, we must accept the universal love for ourselves. Put it in your bucket and carry that tune around with you everywhere you go. Sing that song with your life. Do you really believe in the joy, the peace, the hope, and the love of the Advent season? Do those candles shine in your heart? The coming of Jesus to Mary and Joseph, the coming of Jesus to you and your neighbor, and the coming of Jesus to our entire world. You can believe it and live it or not. It's really up to you. Mary and Elizabeth had choices, you know. In truth, Jesus had choices too. But I think if we do not live in that hope, it's spiritual death. We reject the water from the well, that water which isn't like any other well, that brings spiritual hydration for the rest of our lives, eternity. Don't you dare believe you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Sing your song as Mary did, for yourself and for others. And don't pick up your past again, not for a second. If you do, you'll be correct and you'll be able to look me in the eye and say, I can't carry a tune. I can't carry a tune. In just a few minutes, we're going to have a time of prayer. At the altar, if you wish, or in your seats where you are, if you're more comfortable there. And we have a closing carol we're going to sing, and then we'll excuse ourselves early, like I said, and carry our tunes out into the world so that God can make them a blessing. But first, I want to share from this. I only have one magazine. We can get copies of this if people want them, but this is the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries magazine for the December month. Though there is one up back. Good. And this one's called Faces of Hope. And I want to do this kind of quickly, if I can. But and we have a child sponsorship packet like the one that you can get. But there are a few stories, and mostly it's to encourage you. It's not to try to urge you to put more money in the offering plate. It's because I want to say to you, you have already heard that voice, and you have already stepped into a moment, and you are already part of these moments, and I wanted to encourage you with that at the end of the sermon. There's a quote at the opening that says, if we are to love our neighbors, before doing anything else, we must see our neighbors. Not just their faces, but their life behind and within their faces. And so I will open with, these are from several different countries, but I will open with the one that's talking about seeking refuge, and it's about the refugee crisis and how the church is responding. Tiana Sundberg is a Nazarene missionary living in Budapest, and some of her stories are in here of refugees she met while she was serving. A woman says, my husband has been missing for 2 years. I have 2 children. The airplanes bombed our house, so my father led our family out of Syria. I need a home for my children. I need a future. Now, these folks were being served by our Nazarene missionaries. Another one said, tell the world that in Syria, we are looking for a place where we won't die. As Hungary closed its border, a new route took refugees through Croatia. I've been there, Croatia. There, Nazarenes were on hand to respond as tens of thousands of people crossed into the country. Nazarene volunteers brought and delivered aid supplies, including tents, food, water, and baby food. I've done that, too. I've done that after a hurricane and had a man come in, and if you will excuse the too much information, we had all sorts of supplies, but he walked over to the toilet paper, and he picked up a roll of toilet paper, and he looked at me, and he said, thank you so much. And I said, that's okay. Do you need more? He said, I can take two. And I asked him if I could pray with him. And he told me that his high school children had to go away somewhere else so that they could go to school and come from a home where there was water and there was electricity. I've been in these places. So Betsy Scott, a missionary serving in Croatia, reported, many refugees are families with really young children, ranging from 3 months old to teenagers. We met a woman who had been traveling by herself with a three-month-old. Her husband is still in Syria. We noticed she needed shoes, and we were able to get her a stroller for her baby. I've never seen so much desperation, such heartache, such determination, such bravery, and such sadness. Never. Here's a page I'd like you to see. This December, show the world how love lives. We've already done that in what we've put into the offering plate. And we do that often here from Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. But now quickly from Indianapolis, Indiana, there's a Shepherd Community Center in the midst of urban poverty. And there's a little boy. Someone asked him what his dream job would be. He said, a soccer player or a chef. Dreams of a career are rare in the community surrounding Shepherd, where drugs and gang violence often cut life short. And so several of the students who participated in Shepherd's after-school program said that they don't expect to live to be more than 30, based on the fact that so many of their family members and others they know have not lived that long. And in the Philippines, these are three very brief end stories. In the Philippines, the story of Liesl, they're all about the age of 11, so I'm assuming they're from one classroom where they ask these questions. But in the Philippines, Liesl enjoys coming to the CDC. I forget what that's called, but it is the center that they have. And we have fun. And the leaders tell us Bible stories. I've become more respectful to my parents. There's a good one. And the people who are older than I am. Without her time there, she says, I wouldn't know who Jesus is. The CDC has also given her the possibility of a path out of poverty. I want to be a flight attendant, she says. These two last ones, we have a couple of folks here who will really appreciate. Danielle says if he wasn't part of the CDC, he would just hang out on the streets and swear a lot. Well, it's not our people that I'm talking about here, okay? But he comes to the CDC for play, tutoring, and Bible study, and he especially loves to play the guitar here. I can use it, the music, to worship to God, he says. I came to know the Lord. He changed me into a better person. And Grace. Now, the names are not necessarily their real names. Usually they're protected. Children have the opportunity to lead times of interactive worship at the CDC. For many, their favorite activities are singing, dancing, or playing a tambourine or other instrument during services. For 11-year-old Grace, being on the children's worship team has instilled new strength in her. I used to be really shy, she said. But now I'm more confident in everything that I do, especially when I play the drums. Those are the blessings you are sharing.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.